From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And I'm Chuck Weininger.
And I'm Dan Taylor.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. It's been a while. We've been off the air, but we're back.
Too long.
We taped an episode that we kind of lost due to some technical difficulties. Unfortunately, we're going to reshoot that. But we're back in the studio this week, and we have some guests here.
Yeah. So introduce yourself, guys.
I'm Chuck Weininger, dev lead on the Visual Studio Azure Tools team. I've been working on Application Insights Profiler and some other tools in Visual Studio.
And I'm Dan Taylor, and I'm a PM on the Azure Tools team. And I've been at Microsoft for about 5 years working on various performance tools. I worked with Vance on the CLR and Purview, and I've been working on the Visual Studio Profiler. And now I'm here today working on the Application Insights Profiler.
Awesome.
So we've had a few previous episodes with Vance on Purview, so people can go back and check those out. So you've worked with him a lot on that.
Yeah, long time ago.
Yeah.
And Vance has been a great advisor on this project as well. Yep. He's done a lot of work for us. So.
Awesome.
I thought before we jump into, technical awesomeness.
Yeah, yeah.
We should jump into Forza awesomeness.
We've got this beautiful photo on the screen here. I don't know if people can see.
So one of the reasons that we haven't taped for a while is I've been on holiday.
Right.
And I went down to Australia, and this is a place called the 12 Apostles. And for the Forza Horizon 3 fans, you will hopefully recognize it as the beach that you race along in the starting sequence. You'll notice there's no tire tracks here. Actually, it's actually a locked land. Oh. The waves actually hit it on a bluff at either end, so there's never going to be cars down there.
You're not really going to drive down there.
But this scrub at the bottom right, if you know the game very well, is kind of very reminiscent of where the hidden cave is, where there's the glowworm cave, so you're kind of reminiscent of that.
That's cool. You showed this picture, and I was like, oh, that's the video game. Then you're like, no, that's real. What? That's a real place?
So this is looking at a slightly different angle, more to the left, so you get this additional apostle. There's 12 apostles. It's called the 12 Apostles. Mm. There's currently, I think, six. There was seven. There was one called the London Bridge, where it was like an arch.
Uh-huh.
And the big story was that a busload of school kids had just walked across, and then it fell behind them.
Oh.
And they were stranded on it. So
really?
It was about 10, 15 years ago.
Is that real? That's a true story?
That's a true story.
Have we snoped that? That's real? That's not fake?
We should check that.
Right, okay.
And then when one of the smaller ones fell over only a couple of years ago, and so we've lost an apostle.
Wow, so don't go out there.
Yeah, and this is looking the other direction, and you can see how it gets eaten away, and that just falls over.
Oh, right, the waves hitting.
Yeah, it's very very soft sand type wood. And the other thing I was going to show is the quintessential Australian picture.
Uh-huh.
I was playing golf, and I unfortunately hit this tree on the side, and my ball fell down. And
between some roos.
There's my ball.
Oh.
And I had to get quite close before they'll look at me the whole time like, do I really have to stand up?
Are you, yeah.
And they finally, after I got maybe 2 or 3 yards from them, went, they fine. And they hopped away all of about 5 yards away. It's like, you're just ruining my day.
So. I think they're probably just used to golfers. They're just like, yeah, you're the golfer.
So this is the Yarrambat Golf Club in Melbourne, Australia. So
that's
yeah,
great.
You can also kind of note the trees are very similar to Forza too. And this is the Yarra Valley.
I'm going to have to go play Forza now and marvel at all the realism of the game.
Yeah, actually, as an Australian, I do get homesick with watching Forza. I do recognise places and there's particular curves and vistas where I know exactly where you were to take that inspiration. So
very, very
big
cool.
Kudos to the Forza team. So anyway,
fun.
That was awesome. A divergent.
Yeah,
so let's talk about Azure awesomeness and Azure profiling.
Application Insights Profiler. Did I get that right?
You sure did.
Yeah. All right.
So where do we start? What's the story?
So the Application Insights Profiler, it helps you solve your toughest performance problems, those hard to track down issues, by proactively collecting performance data on your production service running in Azure, and then surfacing that information back to you in the portal so you can sort of click on it and dig into the detailed traces of your long tail, your average case, kind of all the information you need without having to go and sit there and get onto the box, collect a profile, and then do all that manual work.
So if you're a big Windows Performance Toolkit, Windows Performance Analyzer type person, you'll recognize this type of analysis approach and the numbers and the inference you can get from it.
Yeah. So for the Windows Performance Toolkit developer, we collect a lot of the same data. In fact, a lot of our stuff is built on top of Purview. I think Chuck can tell a little bit more about the type of data we collect and what that means to the Windows Performance Toolkit person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have an agent that runs on the machine that's hosting your service. If you've seen a previous episode that we recorded with Vance, we talked about that agent and how it works. And it takes samples of your application as it's running. We don't profile all the time. We don't have to change the code of your app either. The agent uses ETW events to get stack traces while your app is running. Mm. And as you can imagine, that's a pretty intensive operation. So we don't want to do that all the time. And by default, we do it 5% of the time. Right now, in our current integration with Application Insights, we don't allow you to change that yet. When we get more features, you can definitely change that so you could profile more often. But the hope is that as you run this at scale in production, you've got enough traffic that 5% of the time, you will be able to catch performance issues.
It's an indicative sample, hopefully.
Yes, yes.
So what's the sample rate? So you said 5% of the machines or the period?
You can think a couple minutes an hour. Mm-hmm. We're profiling. We do that randomly. We pick periods of time that we'll profile. And then while we're profiling, we're taking the stack trace every millisecond and record it. And that ends up all in an ETL file that you can download eventually in your own tools and view the details of that. Mm. Or you can view some of the call stacks online in our tool.
So that's the same granularity you get by default with the Windows Performance Toolkit. That runs also a 1 millisecond sample. Yeah.
You also collect the context switch events as well as some information about the Azure service so that we can sort of give you the sort of elapsed time spent in your methods in sort of context of the actual requests and where the user is spending time waiting on your server to compute the results.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So how do you go about enabling this, seeing this, enjoying this?
Sure.
What's the approach?
In our previous incarnation, we had a standalone website that you could use to set this up on your applications. We're showing we've productized this into Application Insights and integrated it with the Application Insights blades. So if you have an Application Insights instance with an Azure App Service app running connected to that instance, you can ask us to enable this for your application. And I'm showing Application Insights here in the performance blade. If I click on that, this shows requests that my app has made and some performance data, and it should pop up a balloon here at the top that says you can enable Application Insights for this, or you can enable Application Insights Profiler for this application. If I click that, another blade pops open and I can just hit Start Profiling, and we will do some work behind the scenes to install an agent on your Azure App Service application that will start doing the profiling.
So this is a platform as a service feature.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, currently in the preview, that's where we're starting, and we'll be working to open it up to infrastructure as a service and other platform as a service, mm-hmm. and potentially even on premise in the future.
And I assume this is limited Windows based VMs at this point. It's not Linux or other ones.
Yes, it's just for Azure App Services right now, which runs on Windows. Yeah. It's hosting using IIS. So as you can see, it's been enabled already. And now as traffic starts hitting my site, you'll see more requests show up here. And then in the examples column, as we get stack traces for those requests, you'll be able to click there and see examples. And Dan will show that later.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I can show you kind of, I've got our demo application here running, and I can show you what it looks like. Why don't I quickly just go to my website here, mymusicstoredemo.azurewebsites.net, and if I click here, it's a simple application that lets me add some albums to my cart and remove them from the cart. Seems to work pretty fine here when I'm using it now, but the problem is that in production, maybe it's experiencing some issues as it gets under load and something like that. Mm-hmm. So if I come back to the performance blade in Application Insights. When Chuck had turned on the feature, the examples column didn't have any data in it, but now it's been running for a few days and we've collected some samples here. So I can look at that add to cart and remove from cart URL here. And I can see the median time, which is the 50th percentile response time for that, mm-hmm. as well as the 95th percentile response time. So I can see that the median and the 95th are about 200 milliseconds apart, mm-hmm. right? And it's very common that at the 95th percentile, you might have that's where you would see some random issue, some one-off thing, maybe a garbage collection kicks in, or you hit some sort of race condition that it's really hard to reproduce. So that's a key indicator of, you know, so one of those hard to find performance issues. So I click on the examples column, and we're going to connect here and show you a list of all the traces that we have.
Well, it's cool that it's broken down by the percentile. It's really cool.
Yeah, so it depends on what you're trying to chase down. Are you trying to make the, you know, average experience better for your users, or the median experience, or are you trying to chase down that random customer complaint that you got that, hey, it took forever, right? So these are actually the longest ones. By default, we kind of select the longest ones, and we have the details over to the right. But if we go down here, we can have the 95th to 99th percentile bucket, the 75th, and faster, right? So you can kind of even look at each one and say, how does my 95th percentile compare with my 75th percentile? Am I seeing the same stacks, or is there something totally different happening? Mm-hmm. Right. So the part on the right shows that sort of what was happening over time. So if I expand this, first of all, it tells me right away that we noticed that 75% of the time was spent in lock contention.
Right.
Right. So if I just click that, it's going to expand the. Oh, that's going to give me some explanation as to what that means. But if I click the show me, it'll just expand the call tree over here right to the point where that lock contention is. And here it just shows me the method, the remove from cart method. It spent most of the time in, you know, waiting on a lock here. And this blue graph here gives me that over time chart of when was this actually running on the stack. So anything here in blue is actually running during sort of that that time. You can see there is 1.2 seconds total in this request, and of that, 465 milliseconds was spent in the lock contention there.
So this is the number of samples, those 1 millisecond samples where that call was on the stack.
It's a combination of the 1 millisecond samples as well as the timing information we get to the from the context switch events to compute the precise elapsed time spent inside of that method.
So you see, obviously, there's, you know, it was spinning on CPU a very small amount, which means it's, you know, that's the effort of taking out the lock probably. Mm-hmm. And then the weighting is actually where the cost is.
Yep.
How far can you drill in? I mean, what does the weighting show you?
Well, actually, so it's showing us right here, because this is a managed application, that this is waiting on you know, the JIT lock contention method, where that's where the CLR does its, you know, locking logic. But actually, you know, you bring up a good point. I can actually go all the way down into the operating system. If I click show framework dependencies, it'll let me just keep going down into the stack to see.
So that's kind of analogous to show my code. No, what's it called in Visual Studio?
Show external.
Just my code.
Yeah, analogous to that.
Yes, it is.
And
behind the scenes, we're using the same technology that Perfview uses to compute all this. So
yeah. So now we've got like the full stack trace, and we've done this really neat thing here where if we sort of have a bunch of functions that just call each other, we just collapse it into one vertical list here. So you can see this is the call stack, and then when it splits out, then we give you kind of the tree there.
Yeah, you don't waste the tree space. Yeah.
Yep. And then you can drill into, you know, exactly what was running in the framework, and then, you know, keep going all the way down into, you know, the operating system.
And the actual trace event itself.
Yeah, the actual call stack for logging the trace event and all that stuff.
How do you handle symbols? Is there any sort of configuration that needs to be done for symbols for this call stacks?
We use symbol servers to find the symbols based on the information we can find in your application. Mm. So there may be some work you have to do to make those symbols available. Mm. And in the future, we also want to hook it up with your source code too. So if you have your source code in a GitHub repository, we could link to that also.
With managed code, we do get most of the symbols from the JIT events that get logged.
Yeah, it's self-describing, so right. You do get a lot of it.
Yeah, I was noticing a few on the stack that didn't resolve.
But then on the flip side, all the Windows frames do.
So obviously
there is a symbol server there.
Yeah, we can find those from the public Microsoft symbol server.
Cool. So what's the average thing you see when you've seen people use this tool? What's the mistake people are making? What's the common bug out there? What's the common oversight?
I don't know if we've seen one common bug, but a lot of times we have seen lock contentions. That's a fairly common issue. Other times you're waiting on other processes that you might not realize you were waiting on, a database call, or, you know, we've seen things where you make one HTTP request to another service, but maybe that results in a whole bunch of requests that you didn't know about because of the underlying APIs are doing something different than you realized. So there's been a few different things, but usually it's it's things that are happening that you didn't understand fully that were happening.
Yeah. And the scope of your, what you thought was a micro event was actually a much bigger effort.
Yes.
And
yes.
Just didn't appreciate it. Does disk get shown here? Is disk one of the pivots you've got? So if you've got disk contention?
No, we don't. We're not really doing much with disk or memory right now. This is mostly CPU. Mm-hmm. If there's I/O calls that are on the stack, you would see those. But
see, yeah.
but anything else, no.
Yeah. Well, that's easy enough. I mean, you'll see that you're locking, waiting for the disk operation to complete, which in itself is a good indication that you're thrashing your disk and mm-hmm. pushing it a little bit too hard.
Yeah. The good news is if there's something we didn't think of, because you've got sort of the full stack, you can as a sort of pro developer go in and determine that for yourself because we capture everything. So,
yeah.
You know, for example, with so disk, you'd see the disk stacks. With HTTP, we've had some people infer how much of the time am I spending waiting on the HTTP response versus the transfer of the bytes over the network versus mm-hmm. DNS lookup. Those are all sorts of things you can kind of infer from looking at the call stacks.
Cool. So what's the go-to for people? Just get out there, go to the performance blade and just try it? Is it?
Yes. Currently, it's by subscription only. So you have to email us and we'll onboard your subscription. Very soon, we're hoping that it'll be available for everybody. And it only works for Azure App Service apps today. And we're working on expanding that into Service Fabric clusters and cloud services and things like that.
Cool.
So if you want to learn more, you can go to aka.ms/AI Profiler Preview.
You want to type it?
Yep, let's type it right now. So aka.ms/AI Profiler Preview right there. And that'll take you to our documentation that says how to enable it. Right now, you need to email us to get your subscription opted in. But more and more, very soon, you'll just start seeing that little notification show up in the performance blade there. And you can just turn it on right from within your
What's
subscription.
What's the turnaround time? So if you send an email, what's the SLA?
Well, it should be within a day. And if it's a weekend, then you know, wait till Monday. But
yeah. Cool.
Very cool.
Awesome, guys. Well, thanks for coming in. I think the great thing about this is it's nice and simple. Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes these things get, you know, you have to have too much knowledge about Windows internals and
right. Have
to know how to collect the trace just right. And
we always talk about that. Well, you got to go set up your symbol path and then you got to go this and you got to install these three things and then you got to do this. And this is like, just turn it on and go, right? Just email you guys, get opted in, turn it on.
And you can download the ETL file if you want to do all that grid analysis.
Really want to drill in further.
With all the tools you have with WPT or Perfview.
And the files, how big roughly would they be, just a general idea of what a download would be? If you're profiling for a couple of minutes, I'm assuming it can't be more than a couple of gig, right?
It depends. Sometimes they're not even gigs. They're megabytes. 30, 40, 50 megabytes.
Yeah,
it's not that bad.
Not too bad at all.
They zip up pretty well.
Yeah, ETL does zip quite nicely.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Nice.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, guys, and demoing this cool new thing. That's our show this week. Thanks for watching. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes down below or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. Or do you have a feedback link on your aka.ms thing? So for specifically, to if it's about this product, you can go there too, right?
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
See you guys.